Today's Perek in Masechet Shvi'it is a Perek Revi'i, and we're starting with Mishnah Aleph. Berishona hayu omrim, melaket adam etzim v'avanim v'asavim mitoch shelo, kederech shel melaket mitoch shel chaveiro. Now, what we've been talking about until now, it turns out, was a later development that we're going to be giving ourselves a little bit of background. So the last parak that we talked about was all about what type of stones you're allowed to be taking out because it looks like you're preparing the land for plowing, for planting, and therefore it comes under the overall chashash that we have of charisha, because it's similar to charisha, and if you do it in a way that actually prepares your field, so then it looks like you're working on charisha and on preparing during Shemitah. Now that, even though we only discussed stones, we talked about what kind of stones, and how big the stones, and so on, obviously would be true about clearing a field of anything that is going to get in the way of its being used for planting. So to take away sticks, to take away, what do you call them? Kotzim in English. Thorns, you know, and the type of things that fall on the field and get in the way. That was also awesome. But originally, there was no gezerah at all. And Berishona, you omrim, melaket adam etzim, v'avanim, v'asavim, mitoch shelo, kederech shel melaket shel chaveiro. Let me ask you something. If a guy needs some stones for building, can he go to a neighbor into his field during Shemitah and take out some stones? Or do we say, no, well, I mean, wait a minute, you're doing charisha. Of course, we don't say you're doing charisha. You're picking up stones to build a building. What are we going to say? Well, people will say you're doing charisha. I went into my neighbor's yard in order to do charisha for him. I'm not such a good-hearted guy, you know? Nobody's going to think that. And therefore, if you need some firewood for Richie's sauna, he can't go to the neighbor to take some firewood during Shemitah because it looks like he's doing it in order to clear the guy's field. He needs firewood for the sauna. So therefore, there was never any problem. There was no gezerah, obviously, to take from anybody else. And originally, in the same way that people could take from the next-door neighbor for their sauna, they could take their own fallen pieces of sticks that fell off of the tree, come all over the yard. There was a big storm. You pick it up in order to be able to make a fire. And we were not chayshish at that time that people would think, you know, you're doing this for bedavka. Okay. Now, it's true that we did put down some level of restrictions that it should not look to anybody that you're going around, you're picking up every small stick. Now, that's very suspicious. Taking out every pebble, that was the word I was looking for. No, that wasn't the word. Gravel was what I was looking for yesterday. Thanks. So if somebody takes out every tiny stone, that looks very suspicious. So as long as originally you took agas, if you left the small ones, so then nobody would think even in your own field that there was a problem. Okay, now this seems to be, we said before that you can take out even from your own field, and yet we just said that before, and here it says Mishrobo Avrei Avera, Itkinu Sheye Zemelaket Mitoch Shel Zev Zemelaket Mitoch Shel Zev. Then that's when we came out with the takona that you cannot take out things from your own field. You'd have to go only into others' field. Now this is a problem because the Hagas, I mean, we talked about the Avnei Katef, we talked about you're allowed to take out even from your own, because they're very large. And now we're saying they made a takona that you can't take out even hagas, which is a little bit of a problem, because it's a stira. So the truth is, if you take a look in the Rav, there's no, not in his Dibra Matzkel, not in his Esper, does it say anything about stones. It talks about only about the kotzim, in terms of the etzim, and the asavim does not talk about taking out stones. It could be that those things are so clearly for construction purposes that over there, indeed, the Mishnah earlier, it was clear, and the last Mishnah that we had in the previous parak, it was clear that those things were okay. Okay, but in any event, so they made a takona that one neighbor can collect from the next door neighbor, And that neighbor can collect from you, but you cannot make any sign of appreciation. So it has to be shelo b'tovah. Because if you make some kind of indication that I owe you, so then if I owe you, it may well be that I will go into your field and do the same for you. So the moment that it looks like in any way some type of joint understanding, so then what good does it do that you're going into his field, he's going into your field? At this point, in fact, you are exchanging services, and therefore both of you are doing an iser. You do actually have a kavana to clear out the other guy's field while you're taking your own thing. The guy says, I owe you. So then, bad news. So therefore, there has to be a clear sense of I'm simply doing what I always do. And in this case, I do not say thank you for taking out all of those stones from my field, because then the guy wouldn't be allowed to take the stones out of your field. Or thank you for collecting the firewood that you need from my field. No thank you. So all of this is just done because I need it, not because I'm doing you any kind of favor. So then we don't have a chashash that it looks like gomlim. Now, the question is, in the event that someone actually did do one of the things that the Rabbanan Aser doing during Shemitah, and in those cases, if you did an actual direct melacha, not the extension of the melacha, so you would do literally a harisha, so then the Rabbanan were kenes, the person who did it, not his children, but perhaps we'll see, but there was a knas that he could not use the work that he did even for after Shemitah. So if he prepared the field for use in the eighth year, he would not be allowed to use that field in the eighth year.
That'd be the last phrase of the Mishnah we didn't discuss.
Oh, sorry, forgive me. I didn't realize I stopped early. Yeah, the ain't tzarich lomar sheiktzotz lo mizonot, and it goes without saying that I can't give him, say, oh, you know, beautiful, here, let me give you lunch. What do you mean, let me give you lunch? On the contrary, I owe you for taking the firewood. No, I owe you. No, that's no good. So if you can't even say I owe you, of course you can't actually give him something to eat. Anyway, so getting back to Mishnah Beit. So now the question is, what type of things were the Rabbanan kenes you that you wouldn't be allowed to use the next year either? So we talk about a couple of the cases. Let's talk about a sada shenitkaftza. Nitkaftza comes from the word coats. It means somebody cleared all the thorns off of his field to make it ready for planting after Shviyas. And he did this, even though it was Aser. Nonetheless, Tizara b'motzai Shviit, even though he did the Iser, but since it's not that much similar to Harisha, because even after you take all of the thorns and pieces of fallen junk off of the field, I mean, it's far from being able to be planted. You're still going to need to do an awful lot of stuff, including the actual harisha. So now we're not going to be, oh, look at this, you prepared your field. It's still not prepared. The guy's going to have to do a lot more. And therefore, he's several steps away from doing something that provides for Zriah. So we weren't kenes. We said it's also to do, but we were not kenes. But what about in a case where it was nitaiva? So nitaiva means that it was heitivt, meaning it was really well done. So what this is referring to, according to the Yerushalmi, as the Bartanura brings, is a reference to a historical issue that came up. The government was gozer, as we're going to see when we do that Yerushalmi soon, the government was gozer on Shviyas, that the Jews are not going to get away with their hanky-panky and claim that they don't have agricultural produce to provide for our soldiers who are doing them this favor of protecting the goddamn parasites, and now they don't want to pay, and so on and so forth. And so they were gozer death penalties on people who would not provide for the soldiers. So because of that, the Rabbanan were matir because of sakonis nefashas. They were matir doing a minimum aveda for your field during Shemitah in order to be able to provide enough so that the government would not say you're slackers. But if you did two times plowing, then that was clearly a hachana for the field for the next year, for yourself. Then they asked the field the next year. So if you were nitaiva, so this is the way that the Yerushalmi explains the situation, although over there it's a bit of a machlokas between Eretz Yisrael and in Bavel, how did they learn it? But this is the way that Yerushalmi comes out. So if it was nitaiva, or if it was nidaira. So now what does nidaira mean? Remember, nidaira means that you penned up your animals on the field and you used your animals' propensity to fertilize the fields as they're standing there to get yourself a well-fertilized field. So what's wrong with that? I thought you were allowed to be nidaira up to Shmeinasayim, according to Shimon Gamliel, Arabasayim. What's the problem? The problem is that when the Mishnah earlier described what is mutter to do b'nidaira, the previous perek, it said that afterwards you have to collect all of these droppings and you have to pile them up in the same din of the compost heaps that you make three heaps and so on and so forth. It can't be spread out, left there all spread out. And because of that, if in fact you actually were nidaira and you didn't take it afterwards and pile it up into a heap, so then they ossered that field, which was completely well fertilized, they ossered it next year. Now there's a bit of a problem over here, because according to the Rambam, the Mishnah that we had before in Perek Shlishi, we had Mishnah Chamishi, we had the din that afterwards he has to take it out. The Rambam learns that that means afterwards you can take it out and pile it up all around your field. Not that you have to take it out, which would mean that according to the Rambam, Nidaira would be mutter, the Arba Soyim. So then why would we be geyser? In other words, we'd have to learn this Mishnah is talking about, that you were Nidaira the entire field, whereas before the Mishnah said you have to leave out something because otherwise it looks like you did this in order to be Nidaira your field. So maybe that's the way the Rambam would understand this here, that he was Nidaira the entire field. Now, what about this Sada that was Nitaiba? So if it grows peiros that are mutter. Now, when I say grows peiros that are mutter, remember that we haven't gotten to it yet, but that there is this horrible gezeira derabanan that messes up our entire Shemitah, which is that if something grows even on its own during Shemitah, you cannot eat it. And this is called the gezeira of Sfichin. So anything that is the derech to plant, you're not allowed to eat even if it grows on its own. So what is this referring to? So this is referring to peiros ha'ilan, where there's nothing you can do to plant them on Shemitah. So it's referring to things that would not themselves be us, or it's referring to the time before the gezeira of Sfichin. But in any event, it's ignoring that issue. So the guy actually did this during Shemitah, and things grew in the field. So Beit Shammai says you cannot eat those things. Beit Shammai omrim ein ochlin peroteim bishviit. And Beit Hillel says, no, there's no gezeira even during Shemitah, not eating those higher quality perot that were improved because of the way that you did Aveda in your field on Shemitah. Then there's another machlokas, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai omrim, ein ochlin perot shvi'it bitova. If you go ahead and you take peros, and the guy has left his field open, because it's Shemitah. You go in, you collect your meals for the day, and on the way out, you say, Joe, thanks so much for those delicious peros. You're not allowed to do that, because then you're showing that the peros shvias are not hefker. And it's as if this guy did you some kind of favor in allowing you to take the peros. That's not a favor. And therefore, it would be declaiming that I don't view this as being real Shemitah. It's usher to do that. Whereas Beit Hillel omrim, ochlim betova, v'shalom betova. It doesn't matter, because in fact, this person was the one who planted the field, and ultimately, you were zocha, albeit from the hefker, you were zocha, but you were zocha because of what he had done, and therefore you can eat, even betova. Rabbi Yehuda omer, chiluf ha'dvarim. Actually, in this issue, about whether you're allowed to say something expressing gratitude is the opposite. And Beis Hillel is the one who's machmir, and Beit Shammai is the one who's mekel. And Rabbi Yehuda omer chiluf ha'dvarim. This is one of the things that are the 23 things that are bikulei Beit Shammai umichumrei Beit Hillel. And this has to be included in those inyonim.